Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode is presented by Jeremy Aaron, the campus minister at the Mustangs for Christ Student Center at Midwestern State University. Let's tune in now for Jeremy's message.
Excellent job, guys. I really appreciate your heart for worship. And as I said earlier, I am thankful that this is Missions Month. I am biased because I get to work with a great group of college students, and I'm thankful that this church has the heart and the insight to consider that mission work. We have local mission work happening on campus every day, and I am incredibly thankful to be a part of that. Jenny and I and our team at M4C are thankful to be your missionaries to not only the campus of MSU, but we really seek any college student in this city we can find. We want to help them. Our prayer for these students is that they grow in their relationship with Jesus. And as we talk about being disciples who make disciples, that's our hope for them, is that they do the same. They seek out their friends to help them become disciples as well. You know, I don't have to tell you, but I will anyways. You know how blessed we are at 10th and Broad to have a great group of college students worshiping with us every Sunday. And I just wanted to say, I don't get the chance enough to say thank you specifically for that. That is a reflection of you, church. Your heart, your love for not just college students, but just the family environment that you've helped create here is a huge blessing. And I can't help but think of last month when Shane had our conversation, our faith conversations. One of the college students, we were asking, what can we do as a church to kind of help? And one of them simply said, keep doing what you're doing. Now, that's not to say like we've made it. We can always get better. We can always improve. But to me, that's just very indicative of the, why would college, churches ask that all the time. How do you get college students to come, or how do you connect with them? Look at 10th and Broad. You guys pour in so much love, so much dedication. Keep praying for them. Keep listening to them. Keep eating with them, especially on Sunday nights at M4C. Keep serving together. Keep sharing your story with them. These are the ways that we will continue to bless them. And as we started a few weeks ago with this acronym of BLESS, I think it fits so many areas of ministry perfectly. And when I see what 10th and Broad does well to connect, that's probably where from now on, people are always asking me, and I think I'm going to start pointing to this acronym. This is what 10th and Broad does well to connect with college students to help bless them. So begin with prayer. Listen with compassion, eat together, serve others, share your story. These are all things that we see modeled so well in the life of Jesus. And if you think about what does it mean to be a disciple who's making disciples, it's a lifestyle of blessing others. And we see so well illustrated here. These are five things that are so vital as we seek to make disciples who will follow Jesus. You know, in our context on campus, we pray a lot for God to send us students. We do spend a lot of time in prayer. God, send us students who are seeking the truth. We pray that we have the words to say, which we all pray that in every situation. Pray that he gives us guidance as we try to find out exactly what method we're going to use to take the gospel to them. We want to see where he is leading us. We practice the art of listening. I think one of the best ways to connect with new people is to show them that we are fully engaged and what they have to say. And if we really value them, then we can show it by the way we listen to them. So listening is vital. Eating together is incredibly important in any ministry, especially when you're working with students, especially on a campus, when maybe their main diet consists of some combination of ramen noodles and Little Caesar's pizza. Eating together is huge. You know what I'm talking about, guys. Eating together makes such a difference. Not only does it allow us to practice hospitality, but it provides a comfortable setting to share your life story with someone, just to share some of the things that are important to you and what motivates you. You know, college students don't like to talk things to death. And so there may be some that you say, well, there's certain aspects of this generation that are not my favorite. Well, that's probably true for every generation, and I'm not going to go into those today. But I can tell you one thing that's a huge plus to this current generation is they are the go and do generation. They don't like to talk things to death. They want something to be involved in. They want to make a difference. And so this idea of serving others is huge. Serving together is a great outlet for making a difference in God's kingdom. At Mustangs for Christ, we also believe that sharing your story is a powerful bridge for the gospel. And I appreciate Braden's prayer. He mentioned that in there. That is such a huge thing, because over and over in scripture, we see this phrase. They didn't know who God was and what he had done for his people. And the best way that you can help someone realize that is to share who God is and what he has done for you. Praying for someone, listening to them, eating and serving together will often open up that door that you can get to that last S, sharing your story. And so I think that's very powerful. Well, today, Ken, a few weeks ago, began with prayer. So today I want to focus on this idea of the value of listening and why that's so important to our mission. Some things I'm going to say will probably just be reminders. Hopefully there'll be some new things that maybe catch your ear this morning and you can say, oh yeah, that's helpful. Maybe I can implement that somewhere. So me just telling you that listening is important is my first point. Isn't that really deep, really helpful? I hope you heard that. Listening is important. There's a few quotes or phrases that I thought, how do I help us kind of engage this idea of why listening is important? And there's some famous quotes. I don't know who wrote them, but they're on the internet, so you know they're famous. So what do you think about these quotes about listening? I thought this one was helpful and explains a lot about me, maybe. It says, usually I'm done hearing people even before they finish talking. I'm just a fast listener. And so if that applies to you, maybe there's some improvement that can be done. Maybe you're just a fast listener. Like I'm a fast talker sometimes. So if you're a fast listener, maybe you're just done before they even finish talking. This one, I can't relate to this. Maybe you can. This one says, my wife just yelled, you weren't even listening, were you? And I thought, what a strange way to start a conversation, right? Have you ever had, don't elbow your neighbor, but maybe that fits. Maybe you're thinking, that is a weird way to start a conversation. Maybe you've missed the first half of that maybe. This one is really applicable for the time we live in. My wife asked me, she said, why are you walking around the house whispering all the time? And I told her, I said, I think Facebook is listening. She laughed, I laughed, Alexa laughed, Siri laughed. So I hadn't heard that, but I thought, that is creepy. Sometimes I'm in the office and Alexa will start talking to me. I forgot she's there, but she's always there. So sometimes with listening, sometimes listening is happening when we're not expecting it, but sometimes listening is not happening when we wish it would. So there's lots of things. I couldn't help but think of listening and think of children. If you've got children, you know that listening is not something that they're born with. And we have so many different teachers, you know, you've got so many techniques to help them listen. I was thinking of one time when Audrey was really young. She's not in here, is she? Okay, good. One time when she was really young, you know, she was a great baby and she didn't cry a lot, but she talked a lot. And I don't know where she got that from, but so when we laid her in bed, she would wake up and she'd go to bed just talking. She'd be talking and singing. And so Jenny and I took turns standing outside of her room. And every now and then we'd have to say, Audrey, you know, let's stop singing, go to bed. And so one particular night I was on duty and I was by the door outside. She must have seen my shadow. I don't know how she knew I was there. I really thought she was asleep. And I heard this tiny voice from the bedroom say, can you hear me? And then she said, can you hear me, Jeremy? Can you hear me? She was way too young to be calling me Jeremy. And also, be careful what you share with college students, because I've heard that story many times. But so it's interesting how kids hear things that you don't really want them. Now, that wasn't necessarily bad, but I had to run down the hallway because I was laughing so hard. I thought, I'm no good here. She's got this gene that makes us laugh. So it's interesting how kids, sometimes they listen to things that you don't know where they got it from, and sometimes you're just trying to get them to hear something so important and they just miss it because their focus isn't there. All that to say, I think we can all do a better job with listening. There's so many aspects of listening that maybe we have good intentions, but we all need to be called to reevaluate our ability to listen. So how does listening bless others? Listening well takes practice. Like I said, if you have kids, you know this. You know that it takes lots of practice. I think we've all been in situations maybe where we felt like, hey, no one's listening to me. No one's paying attention. As people, you know, we put great value on being heard, on being recognized, and being appreciated. And then also when we meet someone new for the first time and are making that very important first impression, listening may just be the greatest part of that interaction. Maybe the most important part of that initial, how are you, who are you, and tell me a little bit about yourself. Listening is so vital. I want to begin with three levels of listening. I know this is basic, but I think this is really helpful. And if you have your outline and the insert, there's some things to fill in there if you want to follow along. Three levels of listening that'll kind of help us think about these ideas of listening. The first one is listening for information. And I know that's basic. And so you can kind of fill in what you think. I was thinking of things like listening to the radio, maybe just having the TV on. Maybe it's watching the news or even listening to a book on tape. You're not listening to respond. You're not listening to really be in the moment. It's just information. So it's just a real basic type of listening that I would say is kind of level one. Level two is this idea of listening to respond. And honestly, since we're being honest, Talon, honestly, that too often I find myself there. And that's not a bad level of listening, but if you only operate on this level two, you're really missing out on being a great help and a great blessing to others. This listening to respond thing, I think most of our conversations operate on this level, like I said, or at least mine often do. Instead of really focusing really well all the time on what's being said, my mind quickly is racing ahead, maybe to something funny, I don't know, but it's usually racing ahead to plan my response. And usually it kind of goes something like this. Do I like what they say or dislike what they say? Do I have a similar story? And as soon as they take a breath, I can jump in. Should I change the subject because this person's being weird again? There's so many different things that kind of race ahead. And so there's a natural give and take on the second kind of level. But if you only keep it there, especially when someone's come and you know this is a different kind of listening, like they're really sharing something special with you. They're sharing something important. They're kind of using you as a confidant and they're hoping to have some sort of a response. If you are just listening to respond, I think you're missing out on what this third level of listening is, listening, which is listening to understand. I think we all would agree that this is what we strive for, but let's be honest, in the busyness of day-to-day life, listening to understand isn't always easy, and it's not always natural because of just busyness and lots of other things you can put in there. Listening to understand, you may want to add something like listening to connect, listening to empathize, something like that. This level should be the goal of our conversation. On this level, we not only hear what this person's saying, but we are present in the moment. We don't rush ahead to plan our response. We're just kind of waiting and sitting and trying to soak in every detail we can about what they're sharing. We not only hear what they're saying, we notice maybe how they're saying it, how it makes them feel, and we're trying to gauge as best we can why it's important to this person. You know, I think one of the reasons that Jesus was such a master teacher, I think most of us would agree that he was a master teacher. And to become a master teacher, one of the elements that he employed was he was also a master listener. Jesus was an incredible listener. And as I was thinking these last few weeks, what are some stories about Jesus listening? There was just, every story has an element of it. But I was thinking of things like when he talked to the Samaritan woman at the well and how much he listened to her story and was able to respond in a loving and an amazing way. Later on, whenever he's walking through the crowd, there's one particular story where there's a blind man on the side of the road. He just kind of catches the thought that Jesus is coming by. He can hear the crowd. And so he yells out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." In the middle of this crowd, Jesus is listening enough where he can hear this man, and he stops everything he's doing, and he goes over to him. Think about after his resurrection on the road to Emmaus. There's two of his followers who are just, they're hopeless. And he stays with them, and he walks with them and listens for a long time, a lot longer than I would have. Don't you think he had something to say? Don't you think he had a few corrections that he might make to their story or their hopelessness? Now, he does eventually respond, but he listens with this idea, this third level of listening. He listens with compassion because he is not only the master teacher, but he's also a master listener. So many times that we see examples of Jesus modeling this third level kind of listening, listening to understand. Well, today I want to look at a story in Mark chapter 5. And if you have your Bibles or your phones or your tablets this morning, I'm going to turn over to Mark chapter 5 because there's another story about Jesus listening that I think illustrates this really well. In Mark chapter 5, we see Jesus listening, this third level kind of listening to understand, but he does it in the middle of a rescue mission, and that'll make more sense in a second. But as we look at Mark chapter 5, I want you to ask yourself the question, could I listen this third level kind of listening? Could I even do that if I was in the middle of something incredibly important? If I was in the middle of a rescue mission, how would I do on this? So let's look at Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. Is where we'll pick up the story today. Mark 5, verse 21 says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came to him. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him, and it said a large crowd followed and pressed around him. So kind of to set this scene, we've got Jesus setting out on this rescue mission. There's a synagogue ruler, Jairus, and anything we know about scripture is that they did not get along well with Jesus most of the time because they were threatened by his authority or what he said. But this guy risked everything. He risked reputation. He risked his social status. Maybe he risked even his safety. I don't know what all he risked, but he had a child that was sick. And I can relate to that as a parent. Maybe you can too. If your child's sick, what would you not do? What would you not try to get them to health or whatever you could? And so this guy, he's all in for Jesus. He's like, you're my hope. This is everything I've got. And so he goes to Jesus. He begs him, please come. My child is sick. And we don't have a lot of the interaction there, but Jesus, he's convinced. He's like, let's go. So Jesus sets off on this rescue mission, which is also interesting because it says a large crowd followed them. I don't know if these were the ambulance chasers of the day or whatever it was, but we have this massive crowd that says, you know what? I want to see this. I want to know what's going to happen. This guy's pretty prominent and Jesus is pretty important. So this big crowd sets off to follow him and to see what's going to happen. So as we pick it up in verse 25, that's kind of the situation is we've got this big crowd going on. So Mark 5, verse 25 says, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and he asked, who touched me? There's a lot that happened just in those few verses. The faith of this woman is incredible. Just as Jairus went in front of this group and was willing to do that, this woman risked a lot. Now she was hoping to blend in with the crowd. I think she was hoping to make a quick getaway. We see that Jesus doesn't allow that. But she has a credible faith. She thinks so much of Jesus that if I can just catch the edge of his robe, catch the edge of his shirt, if I can just put a finger on the power that's close to Jesus, I can be healed. And we have a little glimpse here about the suffering and the things she's gone through. But to me, I always love humor in the story. And so you have this crowd pressing. And I could see maybe, especially Peter, but maybe the disciples were trying to keep people away from him. You know, like they're trying to get him through the crowd. Remember, we're on a rescue mission. And as Jesus stops and he says, who touched me? There's this awkward moment. And it seems like it wasn't just like, hey, who did that? And then he keeps walking. He stops the whole procession. Everything stopped. And for, I don't know, maybe a minute, maybe two. Who was it? I'm not going anywhere till I find out. There's an awkwardness when you're in front of the crowd that time goes different. If I stood up here and just didn't say anything for 2 minutes, it would be awkward for you. It'd be really awkward for me because time just moves differently when you're in front of people. And if you've ever done that, you know what that's like. But Jesus stops this rescue mission in the middle of it and he's not going anywhere. The disciples thought, what do you mean who touched you? Who didn't touch you? That's probably what they were thinking. And then you've got this father whose child is dying and he's thinking, why on earth are you stopping? Like we have, what could be more important to you, Jesus, than saving a life of a child? And so many different thoughts going on in their minds. But Jesus stops and he wants to find out who it is because he has a purpose. Picking it up again in verse 32, this is what it says. But Jesus kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and she fell at his feet, trembling with fear. She told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering. You know, I've heard that story a lot. I love that story in context, especially how it kind of fits in the middle of this rescue mission and it's Jesus allowing himself to be interrupted. But there's something I've missed in that story. And when that woman comes to him, she has the same posture as Jairus. She falls down on her feet. She is begging Jesus. I don't know what she expected. Maybe she expected to get in trouble. What are you doing? There was a cultural norm she was breaking. I don't know what she was expecting. But that's not how Jesus responded. I love the fact that it says in verse 34, it says that she fell at his feet and told him the whole truth. What does that mean? I don't know exactly what that means, but we can speculate. We got a glimpse into her story. If I ask her, tell me the truth, what's been happening to you? She would talk about being an outcast. She would talk about being bankrupt. She would talk about pain and suffering and loneliness and all of those things. Jesus listened on this third level of listening. He wasn't waiting to say, oh, guess what? Bible says, guess what? He wasn't waiting to jump in with his response. He listened with compassion. He listened to connect. He listened in such a powerful way that this woman told him the whole truth. And his response is incredible. Because of his listening, because of his engaging with her, he knew exactly what she needed to hear. And we're blessed to have the response. This lady tells her whole truth, and how does Jesus respond? He calls her daughter. The Son of God, the creator of the universe, looked at one speck of a person. He said, daughter. That's what she needed to hear. She needed to be affirmed. She needed to be loved. She hadn't been lifted up in that way in who knows how long, a long time. He calls her daughter. And then I love what he says, because not only does she need to be restored as a daughter, he says, excuse me. He says, go and be freed from your suffering. Go in peace. And so she needed peace. She needed freedom is a couple of things she needed. But that's only because Jesus took time to listen. Only because he took time to listen. You know, sometimes we're so busy looking for good things. And did you forget? He's in the middle of a rescue mission. I wonder how many times that I've been seeking to do good, but I've missed what's best. Because in my own mind, I had like, well, I'm going to serve the kingdom, and maybe I'm doing this, and I'm heading this direction, and it needs to look like this. And maybe God brings something up that is vital for somebody, but I missed it because I'm so busy focused on what I think it should look like. And maybe I haven't spent enough time in prayer asking for direction. Lots of different things you can think of there. But maybe sometimes we're so busy looking for good things, we don't take time to really listen to what somebody needs. Jesus knew that she needed to be restored as a daughter. She needed, obviously, she was healed, but he was impressed by her faith. And he said, you know what? Go in peace and in freedom. And he knew that because of the fact that he practiced this third level kind of listening, this listening to understand. He wanted to hear her whole truth. Jesus listened as she told him the story. And I can't help but think, in other stories, Jesus would have handed her a business card and said, I'm glad that you're healed. I'll get back to you later. I'm busy right now because I've got this thing. You weren't at the beginning of the story, but he could have just put her off, and he could have said, you have your people, contact my people, that kind of thing. You know, talk to Peter. He's good about that kind of stuff. He could have put her off, but that's not what Jesus did. I don't think Jesus enjoyed being interrupted because he was human. I believe the scriptures say he was fully human. Nobody really enjoys that. But Jesus looked past that. He knew the value of spending time listening to someone's story, especially when he could tell that this person was broken and they needed to be restored. She needed peace and freedom. And so he took time, even in the middle of a rescue mission, he took time to listen. It's incredible. You may think this morning that God's too busy for you. This woman may have thought that. Maybe that's why she drew back and thought, you know what? Jesus, he's obviously busy. He's going somewhere. I'm hiding. You may think that God's too busy for you. You may feel sometimes that he's got much bigger agendas. I mean, it's just me. Maybe you think like David, who am I that you are mindful of me, that you would even notice me? I don't know what you think like that this morning, but one of the most powerful things in this story, and what I love about this story, is that Jesus is the God who slows down and he takes time to listen. I think that's valuable. Jesus is the God who slows down and takes time to listen. He's also the God who takes time to look for us. I think it's significant, even though it was uncomfortable in the moment. I'm sure his disciples were like, do you remember what we're doing? Did you look up a few verses, Jesus? Remember we had this interaction? There was this uncomfortable moment when he stopped, and he wasn't going anywhere till he found this woman, till he heard her story, until he restored her. So not only is Jesus the God who slows down and takes time to listen, Jesus is the God who takes time to look for us. And guys, that means everything. There's so many people in this world wanting to be heard and wanting to be found. Jesus can do that for them. I want to end this morning by giving you five ways that you can bless others through listening. Just some maybe practical tips, maybe something that can kind of help us this morning. How do I practice being this third level kind of listener? How do I implement these things like Jesus did? How to bless others through listening. The first one is simply slow down. We live in a society that is addicted to hurry, that is addicted to busyness. I know because it's me and I live there and it's busy. I've been blessed to go in other cultures that don't maybe value busyness the way that we do. I'm not getting on to people because it's okay to be busy. And so I'm not promoting laziness or not doing your work. But oftentimes when we ask each other how we're doing, hey, how was your Saturday? A good response would be, well, I did this and this and this. I was really busy. That's not a bad thing, but we put a high value, as Americans, we put a high value on being busy. But busyness comes with a price. Comes with a price sometimes that I'm not able to maybe slow down and take time to listen to others like maybe I want to practice. So slow down is important. Second one kind of goes with it. Second one is be approachable. What does your posture convey about you? And I think it's interesting in this story, a good question to ask is, what was it about Jesus that made this woman feel like he was approachable? It wasn't because he was just sitting there with nothing to do. He was in the middle of a rescue mission. You may have heard that a couple times today. There was something about what Jesus said, something about the way he carried himself, something about his teaching, something about him that made him approachable enough where this woman was willing to go all in for Jesus, willing to risk everything just to be close to him. So be approachable. What does that look like in our society? You know, I always wonder, like, how can I reach people on campus? And how do I reach college students on campus? And what's this random old guy on campus walking around? I wear an MSU shirt, so they think I work there sometimes. That's a little secret. But what do I do on campus? But sometimes if I think, well, to be like the other college students, I know what I'll do is I'll put in my AirPods and I'll put on my hat and my sunglasses and I'll try to go hang out with them. What about that posture is approachable at all? Sometimes I don't waste words because I know that if I'm like, hey, how are you? And then usually it's like, oh, what was that? So sometimes I just go, and then when they take out, then I can talk to them. So I don't want to waste the words, but a goofy example, but be approachable. If you have been praying about God, send me someone to teach, send me someone to disciple. Maybe you're frequenting a coffee shop. Maybe you're doing something like that. But if you've got your laptop open and you've got your headphones on and you're doing this, what about that is approachable? And I say that because that has been my mentality sometimes is, I don't want to look like I'm like a weirdo, like I'm not doing anything, but are there things that I can do to be approachable? I think that is important. Again, why? What was it about Jesus that made him approachable? Third one is be present. Be there physically and mentally. And I think we know what that means. We've been talking to someone and, are you okay? Like, I feel like I'm talking to you, but you're not really here. And so the more we can do to focus in on the moment, I know that's kind of a buzzword, is like, be present. Well, I'm here, but you know what it means to be truly there. Maybe we should do a sermon on this sometime, but put away your phone. That's a good sermon title. Put away your phone, turn off the TV, close the laptop, turn off the Xbox or whatever you're doing. There's things that we know we can do to be more present in the moment. Put away the thing you're fidgeting with or whatever it is. Don't elbow your neighbor. That's also a good one. But there's things that we can do to be more present, and I think that is important. So the third one, be present. A fourth one. This is a hard one. Suspend judgment. That's really hard. That's difficult because if you can do it without saying it, it's important because we're always thinking something. But suspending judgment is valuable. And I think, I know this. Jesus was so incredible at suspending judgment. Whether it was this woman who broke a lot of social norms, the woman caught in adultery. Now, he did offer a solution. He did call her to holiness. But that's not what he led with. He led with compassion. Suspend your judgment. I learned from a very wise secretary one time working with college students that a poker face is very important because sometimes they will come tell you something and they're looking for a reaction and everything in me is screaming, are you crazy? But I don't say that. I just say, oh, well, that's interesting. How's that working for you? One of those things, you know. So it's interesting how that works. Don't rush to correct. That's a hard one, especially as a parent. When someone comes to you, and especially when you're practicing this third level kind of listening, showing compassion before correction is huge. And I think maybe you're like me. Everybody wants to be valued I want to be a good listener. I know I can do better. Jenny and I are blessed in our role to have some great relationships with these college students, and they're part of our family. But part of that is they get to come share with us some great things and some difficult things. And it's hard sometimes to be a listener who doesn't rush to say, well, here's your problem. Stop right there. I'm already done listening. I'm a fast listener. I'm already done. Sometimes it's hard to not rush to judgment. Sometimes you want to you want to rush to judgment, but showing compassion before correction is huge. And if you value being that for someone, and someone comes to you, and you've really practiced compassion before correction, you're going to be someone who they value, and they're going to say, you know, you need to go talk to this person because they are a great listener. Now, I didn't say don't correct, because Jesus always led with compassion. But when there needed to be correction, like, you need to stop sinning, he was willing to say the hard things. But no, don't rush to judgment. Suspend your judgment. And then the fifth one is respond appropriately, because there does need to be some response. But here's the issue. If you started with number five, you would miss out on a lot of these other things. If we start with number five, then we miss many opportunities to bless others by listening. And so these are some things that I think if I add to my own life, they'll help me be a better listener. But also I think that they will make me more approachable. People will be able to come to me, and I'm hoping that I can work on that. And so as we seek to bless others, and you remember the acronym of all the different ways we do that, listening, I hope you just have a little bit more understanding, a little bit more intentionality when it comes to listening. Listen like Jesus did. So I want to leave you with this question, and then Jake's going to continue us in worship. When I think about listening, just a simple question, who do you need to listen to this week? Who are you going to pray that God has your eyes open so that when they come to you this week, and even if you're in the middle of a rescue mission, even if you're in the middle of a rescue mission to get the kids from school or whatever your rescue mission looks like this week, I pray that you can remember those words and say, who do I need to listen to this week? Who do I need to practice this third level kind of listening? Who is God sending my way so that I can tell them, daughter, you've got freedom and peace in Jesus? Let's continue in worship.